Welcome to PodNuts, the Computer Repair Podcast, episode number 216, Word of Mouth Marketing. I'm your host, Jeff Halish. This is our live call-in show for computer repair techs. We answer your questions on running and operating your computer repair business. The call-in number is 1-888-697-0162. Computer Repair Podcast is brought to you by Ninja, the simple-to-use remote monitoring and management solution. Try it free at info.ninjamsp.com/podnuts. Let me introduce the co-host. We have John Dubinsky from the Maven Group. How are you doing, John?
I'm doing Maplicious, and the guy that made me that way knows what I'm talking about. I didn't ask him if I could give him a shout-out, so I won't call him out by name, but I had a great New Year thanks to somebody we all love and owe a lot to here at the network. So
awesome.
Thank you.
That's very, very cool. Also joining us, we have Paco LeBron from Prodigy Techs. How are you doing, Paco?
Better than good, better than most.
All right. And we have Kurt Soderquist from PC Doctor. Kurt, how you doing?
Hi. Good to see you today. It was just Friday the 13th, you know. Yep. I was never scared of Jason. How you doing?
Good. And I also liked, I actually like Saturday the 14th better, but that's just
Saturday the 14th. That was a good movie.
All right, so let's go ahead and share a tip or story that we could learn from. And Paco, why don't you go ahead and start us off?
Yeah, tip or story. You think I would be prepared for these type of things, right?
Oh, I already know you're not, so it doesn't matter.
And, you know, and we always, you know, kind of shun John. So, but essentially, this
never
week
get to
has
go first.
Been, this week has actually been more business as usual. I really don't have much as far as a tip or a story other than the fact of just make sure all your processes are in order. I felt like I wasted a lot of time this week because of the fact that I didn't really, I usually prep all my stuff on a Google Calendar, but I usually just plot them without really looking at it to try and figure out. And there's a couple jobs that I could have probably rearranged a little bit better. Just because of distance and time. And I think that's going to be something that I'll be struggling with starting as I'm starting to do this full time.
Right.
And just trying to figure out how to manage my time better to a point where if I have a job A at 9 o'clock that I think is going to go for about, let's say, 2-3 hours, ends up going on for 6. And I have scheduled another one right around 5. You know, that's kind of what I got to figure out when these type of situations happen. What should I do and what should I put as a precaution just as a buffer for moving forward?
Now, as a general rule, what kind of a buffer are you building in between jobs?
Usually it's about 1 to 2 hours just because of travel time. And then especially like if it's during lunch or if it's during or dinner time, depending on how late that I go ahead to work or any type of meetings that I have for any of the other stuff that I do outside of my business. That's usually the buffer. But again, sometimes like if I have, let's say an OS reboot, you know, that could be anywhere from 2.5 to 4 hours. Sometimes it goes to 5-6 because I got to go to get a part or, you know, whatever the case may be, because I don't know what the situation is till I get to the actual location for the resident.
Gotcha. Yeah. And I don't think anything would help you as far as I would, in my mind, I would think a 2 hour minimum buffer in between jobs, but anything that's going 5 or 6 hours. And maybe you plan for 3. Right. That's not really going to help you there anyways. You're still kind of, you got to make that adjustment. All right.
Right. Yep. So just, I'll probably end up talking to the community, see what everyone has been doing on the onsite, you know, portion of it and kind of go from there.
Right. All right. Sounds good. All right, John, we'll let you go next. And next week, maybe we'll let you go first.
I'll hold my breath. I don't know how important or how high this is on the technical scale, but I never knew this. And I ran into this when I was helping somebody out with their Google Photos. What they were ending up or what they had ended up with is basically photos all over, which a lot of people get. And then it seemed like they were dealing with duplicate photos with inside of Google Photos.
Yep.
So I don't know if everybody knows this, but you can go into Google Drive and turn on Google Photos so that they show up in your Google Drive by going into settings on your phone and having that show up. But then if you have both the Google Photos app and the Google Drive app on your phone, both of those apps are doing a backup.
Oh,
so what will essentially happen is you will end up with the possible duplicates of all your photos getting uploaded to Google Drive and to Google Photos. I will put the link to the support document from Google in there, but yes, So what was 65,000 photos was actually 130,000 photos. So,
wow. You know what? So now they're becoming as bad as Apple. Because that's exactly how they...
Don't exaggerate, okay. But yeah.
They're moving in that direction, though, because that's the problem we have with Macs, is they've got all these different programs, and everybody goes, oh, it's so easy to use. And I'm like, oh, no, it's not. Give me my pictures folder on my Windows operating system.
It's actually pretty cool that you have the option, depending on how you want to manage your photos.
Right.
Because I think if you use the Google Drive aspect, it's more old school. Because you can go in and kind of manage it like, you know, File Explorer. Make your own folders, blah, blah, blah. And then they do show up in Google Photos. But if you do both, you end up with a mess in both places. And then if you just don't care and you just want Google Photos to take care of it, you just set that up and then you get your albums and all that kind of cool stuff. So, yes, it would have been nice if they would have told you, maybe when you click the button or when you install this, hey, we see that you have Google Drive installed. Maybe you don't want both. But I never knew that.
I didn't know that either. That's a good point.
So,
and I back up things to Dropbox just so it goes to my computer and I can drag and drop them out of there and put them in my pictures folder on my operating or my Windows operating system. But as far
and
as
now you can do that with Google Drive. If you put the Google Drive app, you don't need Dropbox.
Okay. So now I can simplify it even more. That's good. Okay. Very cool.
So, and a little shout out to Taz Cools. He's the one that sent me a little New Year's present that I drank on New Year's that it was like I was eating pancakes celebrating New Year's. It was delicious. Thanks, Taz.
Awesome.
I appreciate that. It was like, supremely thoughtful. Went way out of his way to take care of me. So
that's
I appreciate
awesome.
It.
Taz is a great guy, and he's actually manning the phones today. So definitely appreciate all the stuff he does on this network and
behind
others.
The scenes all the time.
Yep.
Yep.
Now we've got to get him come live on the show. Mm-hmm. all right, so we've got Kurt, what do you got for us this week?
Oh, a fun one. So when I was talking to you earlier before the show started, I was letting you know that Microsoft was calling me over the weekend. And the main issue is because even on a brand new computer that I just sold a client, and I sold them Home and Business 2016 Office, and the key won't get accepted. And Microsoft is confounded as to why it's not working. So they're trying to figure out a solution because they say the key is fine, but every time I try to activate it, their servers won't accept it. So they're trying to figure that out. So I'm waiting for an answer back, which is going to probably hopefully come back Monday. So
I've heard this on a couple other podcasts and also from Carrie Holzman on one of the Facebook groups. They're having a problem, not just with the 2016, but 2010 keys. Some are not activating. I've heard 2013 keys. So if somebody is a little bit bigger business and they have a whole bunch of keys, what they'll do is a lot of times they just keep going through the keys till they get that one and then try to sort it out. But that is a big, huge pain and waste of time for us to be able to do that. We just want a key that works. And especially when we've got it in a sticker format or whatever. They've sent it to us an email and it's a legit key, but it sounds like their servers are botched on their end doing some weird things.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
I had once where I swear, and I don't, you know, maybe I fat fingered it or was drinking too much of what Taz sent me at some point, but I swear I set up an Office 365 Home Premium for a customer, you know, set up an Outlook.com account, registered the key. We installed it. And then like I went back a month later and you get 5 installs with a Home Premium Office 365.
Right.
Tried to put it on another PC and we couldn't log in with any of the information. And it said we didn't have a license. We logged in, but there was no like Office 365 under the account, even though it was installed on the other computer. So it was like mysteriously gone. So, I mean, we could never fix it. So I just bought him another Office 365 to keep it simple, but you know, it's not my fault, but it's just gone.
Right.
Vaporware. So,
you know, and it's one of those things where in the tinfoil hats out there will tell you that Microsoft wants to push everybody to Office 365. No, guys, let me tell you, software is hard. Talk to any developer, talk to anybody that actually writes code. It is not easy. And we just think we just want it to magically work. It's like this magic box that somebody puts this software on that just does everything we need it to do and never fails. I'm sorry, when's the last time you drove a car that you've never had a problem with or never had to change the brakes or whatever? I mean, please, people, this is, we look at it as it's not complicated, but it actually is complicated. And especially in the, if we only had one operating system, maybe, just maybe it would work. But as we keep growing and getting bigger and bigger, this stuff is not going to get any easier. And this is why I say people are still going to need us. I don't care what anybody says, because this job stuff security. Is hard. Yep. Absolutely.
Yep, exactly.
All right. So I had a machine come in and a person had upgraded from Windows 7. It was a desktop, Windows 7 to Windows 10. And basically they wanted to make sure that their backups were running. They had an older Western Digital external drive that they were using, a couple years old, a few years old, and they were backing up using the Windows backup when they had Windows 7. Well, they went and changed over to Windows 10, and one of the cautions when you go to backup using the Windows backup software is that they'll tell you if you had one from the previous operating system, basically nuke and pave that and basically start over, because you might have some conflicts between the two operating systems. So I went in and I checked the hardware, made sure that the hardware was good. Hardware was good. She actually pays for ESET's NOD 32, which again, that in the premium version of Malwarebytes was on there. So I'm not sure if she got that from Micro Center, because that's the last place she had it, or from someplace else. But those two pieces of software on there, that machine was clean. The only problem I found is when I first logged in, I'm like, why is this so slow? Well, beyond the ESET's NOD 32 and Malwarebytes, which were both running in the background, they also had downloaded Avast. Not they, them, but her at some point had downloaded Avast and basically couldn't get the software back off. So now it was running, it was just slowing the system down. Nothing horrendous. So I uninstalled it, went and did all my checks. Checked everything for antivirus, did a tune-up on the machine, made sure everything was running right. And then I had to figure out the backup and where it was going. And here's the problem. And this is what we run into. I don't want to delete anything. So Micro Center makes a backup and they put the folder on the C drive. And I'm not picking a Micro Center. Probably all the companies do this, even some of the smaller techs. And they'll put that on the C drive as the backup, right? Now, I don't normally do that. If I make a backup for a computer that I don't want to put back into the operating system. In other words, I don't want to take the pictures, put them in my pictures folder, my documents, so on and so forth. What I'll do is I'll take that backup folder and I'll put it on the desktop. And the reason I do that is because I instruct my customers to go into that file folder, because a lot of times they've got duplicates and triplicates and quadruplicates. I know it's another word, but it sounded cool. So they've got all this stuff on there and I'm like, go through it, pick out what you need and drag and drop this stuff into the folders so that you, next time we go to do a backup, you've got things backed up properly in their place. So I try to simplify it for the customers because they don't know. And quite honestly, do you need terabytes of data if it's duplicates and triplicates, especially when it's on that drive, which doesn't really make it a backup? No, it needs to get put in place. Then they need some sort of backup solution. You can use the Windows software. And one of the things you can do, you can schedule it if you want it to make, you can back up your files and folders, and you can also make an image. Now, the jury is out. I've heard 50-50, basically, that sometimes that image becomes corrupted and unusable. To which I say, as long as I've got a file folder system that I can go down and get my data, I'm not as concerned. But one of the things that I always push is I push in an offsite backup and I use Carbonite. So Carbonite's going to be my offsite and I sell them a hard drive, an external hard drive where they basically can put the image on there. And so they've got the best of both worlds. They've got a proper backup. It's managed. And I tell people all the time, I'm like, you can do this and make sure you got your external drive plugged in all the time. But if you're going to sit here and say you're going to back up your files and folders on a weekly basis, the chances are you're going to turn around 6 months later and go, oh yeah, I need to make a backup. So it's got to be something scheduled. It's got to be something, in my opinion, automatic. Anyways. So that was basically just something I had to deal with and kind of talk to the customer about and get them to the point where they had an understanding of their choices. So we still need to do a follow-up call, which we're going to do that in. I'm going to get in there remotely, show her a couple things, and then we'll figure out whether she wants to do Carbonite or if she just wants to use Microsoft backup. So it's going to be her choice at that point. But I wanted her to go through the 4 or 5 different backup folders that there are from different various sources to see exactly what she's using. Plus, here's something that a lot of people don't understand. I told her, I said, listen, somebody put a backup folder on your computer, and the chances are you might actually be using that folder unbeknownst to you because you're looking at files and things that are in there. You've never moved them to My Documents. You've never moved them to your desktop. So you can't just go in there willy-nilly and just delete that folder and go, hey, where'd all my stuff go? So here's another thing. So what I did was I actually made a backup to make sure that all the stuff that she had was being backed up so that if she ran into a problem down the road, at least we'd have a backup of files and stuff around her system. And this is a lawyer, so go figure. Anyways, so that was what I had gone through. Just, you know, sometimes you got to take your time a little bit and, you know, help the customer out. And that's kind of what we do. So anyways, all right. So let's go ahead and take a quick break and we'll get into our main topic. Our show today is brought to you by Ninja, the remote monitoring and management solution to help you become more efficient, more productive, and more profitable. With Ninja, you can have a faster fixed response time and offer preventative maintenance to your customers. Ninja understands what you need to run your business, and that is why their RMM solution is integrated with tools that you use every day. Ninja provides competitive pricing, patch management, antivirus, email and SMS alerting. You can be up and running quickly with minimum training time. You have TeamViewer integration for that remote support. It's one solution for managed and non-managed clients alike. Get network visibility inside your RMM. Easy to read dashboards. Ninja is always adding new features like their latest beta release, a powerful new device search where you can create custom queries and export the lists to show to your customers. And also a new executive style report showing important system metrics such as health score, software added or removed, hardware changes, and team viewer connections. Ninja is offering Podnuts a free 30-day trial, and when you decide to buy, a 10% discount. Take advantage of this offer. Go to info.ninjamsp.com/podnuts. All right. So the main topic for today is, does word of mouth marketing still work in this fast-paced society that we live in? Or is word of mouth marketing dead? And to that, I say, I've heard in different forums and things that people are saying, some people are saying it's dead depending on where they're at. Other people are saying that's what their business lives on. So I want to go to you guys and I want to find out from you, what does word of mouth marketing mean to you in your business, especially when you started back in the day? And obviously that's probably how a lot of us start, is getting that word out to customers and having them spread it for us. But John, why don't you go ahead and start, since you wanted to be first?
Go, John, go.
What does word of mouth marketing mean to you?
If I went back to the beginning of my business, that's how my entire business started. I got lucky with my first client who it was in medical billing, and frankly, passed my name out to every doctor she knew. So,
okay.
I mean, I was extremely lucky that fell in my lap. So, I mean, that's how I grew. And that's back before at least the physicians in this area now have joined medical groups or hospitals. So I have very few physicians anymore. In fact, I only have one left. And back in the day, that was the majority of my clients. So, and that happened just through attrition. But word of mouth marketing is really the only marketing I do. I mean, I have my website, but that's purely for somebody to go look at just to get an idea, you know, my brochure, period. Right. I mean, I do not do anything like AdWords. I do not do anything like, you know, anything else. I just don't. And I try to do that on purpose, because usually through word of mouth, I find that I get similar clients, meaning, you know, usually the owners of the companies I work for, if they're recommending other owners, usually they're in some sort of group, or they know each other, or so maybe they're like-minded people or similar types of people with the same philosophies and stuff already. So that works great for me. But yeah, I mean, word of mouth marketing is not dead, because if it is, I'm in trouble.
So. Exactly. Oh, very good. Kurt, how about you? What do you think?
I think it still works for me. you know, I don't live in a bigger city like you guys do. It's a smaller town, you know, I don't know, 21,000 people. But word of mouth has really helped out around here. You know, besides, like I said, I do advertising on the radio because it works for me. I don't use newspaper or anything like that. But yeah, a lot of word of mouth is nice. It does work out for me because I have a lot of folks that will see the little, I got a little deal that you can scan with your phone for the Facebook in order to take you right to the MNPC doctor page. So that way people can look. And a lot of folks spread the word that way through Facebook when they're talking to family members that live around here or in North Iowa, which is only 30 minutes away. So yeah, it does work good. I have a lot of people. I got people that drive an hour just to come to me. When they can go to a city that's, you know, I'm in a central hub. So an hour from here, you're going to hit a good sized city. You're going to have Rochester, which is a lot bigger. That's 50,000 people and plus. So, you know, with places like that, that have lots of, you know, repair shops, they still come to me because I've worked on it before. They're happy with what I did. I think word of mouth still works good for that.
Okay.
Because that's, you know, what they're talking about. They let you know.
Good job.
It's not automatic though. If you think about it, a lot of things we talk about are word of mouth. Like, I know, what is it? Mike Smith's pretty big on his BNI group. That's a word of mouth group. I mean, you're spreading your word to others who are talking about you,
right?
Spreading that. So, I mean, it's not just, you know, you do good by your clients and they recommend you. A lot of the times what I've done is, like, I do a lot of orthodontists now. So what I did with a couple of my orthos that I knew really good, a lot of those guys have what are called study clubs. They all get together. They review a case so that they can get their continuing education and everything like that that they need. So I offered to go to a study club and put on a little tech session about computer stuff, you know, security, email, HIPAA, all that kind of stuff. And I got two or three clients out of that because all those guys are buddies. So, you know, it, word of mouth is just trying to find that little niche on how you can, you know, incorporate the good work you're doing for your clients into, you know, like-minded clients for them. And you should never be scared to do word of mouth. You know, my gauge for that is, if you saw your client at a Christmas party, and would you try to avoid them or would you walk up to them? You know what I mean?
Right.
If you actually want to see your client at a Christmas party and you see them and you give them a high five or something like that, or whatever the appropriate response is, you have word of mouth clients in that case. If you see a client at a Christmas party and you're like, oh my God, I hope he or she doesn't look this way, those are not clients that are going to ever do word of mouth for you. So, I mean, it's the kind of relationship you have that's going to build the word of mouth for you, in my opinion.
Right.
Yep. Yep. And Chamber of Commerce is a good one because I'm a member of the Chamber. So I have after hours meetings that I go to once a month. That's a good way because the Chamber spreads a lot of good word about me. They use me for all their services at their offices. The other nice thing too, is I'm looking to go to other things like, Kiwanis. You know, they usually have a thing that can be once every couple of weeks. And it's another good way to get networking going, on top of getting the word of mouth out there for you.
Right.
So I like those. I use those a lot.
All right, Paco, what does word of mouth marketing mean to you?
So as far as word of mouth, it can be taken into different definition. So a lot of people, when they hear word of mouth, they're thinking of the old school word of mouth, like you guys just talked about. One person talking to another, referring you business, whether it's a colleague, whether it's a client that you've had before, et cetera. How I look at word of mouth now, because the topic today, obviously, is it still viable? Is it still relevant? I think it is, but I think it's evolved, right? Because everything that has been digitized and everything with technology, basically word of mouth now are reviews on particular businesses. These are people that are actually talking about their experiences on your particular business. And because of that, is driving more clients to come into your business as well, whether it be testimonials on your site, whether it be on your Google My Business, Yelp, et cetera. These are key points where now anybody with a smartphone or a computer, you know, they are looking at your stuff and they're making their decisions more before they even hit or go into your actual shop. Another piece of this too, like Taz just mentioned in the chat, is social media. You know, you can build your brand on this platform, but if the engagement is there and they're sharing your information, that's also word of mouth that's coming out from there. I think word of mouth now is just simply the more broader term, and there are many ways to achieve this. Now, as far as the old school word of mouth, I believe it still does have a place. But I think a lot of the other new avenues have made it much more easier to be able to take advantage of the word of mouth and connecting with one-on-one people easier. And you're able to do it at a more fast pace because of what we have available for us now.
Okay. So far, I like everybody's answers, and these all ring true, and they're all a good way to look at word of mouth marketing. Now, for those out there that say word of mouth marketing is dead, that would be like saying that the next time your buddy asks you, "Hey, is that movie any good?" You're not going to tell them because word of mouth marketing is dead. So the reality is, people need to, what a lot of people think of when they think of word of mouth marketing is they think of, hey, I'm just going to do a good job and I'm going to send my customer off and they're going to be happy and they're going to tell all their friends what a great job I did. Here's the reality. We're all busy. We're all running around. And a lot of people, even with the greatest intentions, will basically forget. And especially if they're not having problems. That is not at the forefront of their mind. So maybe we need to evolve a little bit, like Paco said, and we need to kind of change that thing up. Number one, most people do not ask for referrals. Wrong answer. You need to ask for referrals. If you don't ask, you don't get, right?
And I'm going to hit on that exactly like you mentioned, because I'm horrible at this. And the reason why is because I think it was Dave Greenbaum that made a good point about this in one of the forums. For those that have a system like I have, Repair Shopper, that sends out automatic check-in emails that says, hey, after 2 weeks, how's everything going with the computer and 90 days in, et cetera. And if I have someone that takes the time to reply to that email and they're happy with my services, I got them on the hook to ask them, hey, I'm glad everything's working out. Hey, I need a favor. Would you mind going ahead and write me a review at this link or at this particular Google My Business review? And that's how you can help build it a little bit more organically. I've just kind of left it in the wind where, hey, if they want to do it in the grace of their own heart, then I'll get the review. But it's exactly like you just said. I mean, this is one piece where if I were to just reply back to them saying, thank you, it's working great, outside of, hey, glad we can help, I think that would also grow a lot of that word of mouth and reviews as well.
Absolutely.
I think all that's perfect. My biggest fear with all that now is just looking at my own inbox. If I look at my inbox, I've got something from Hampton and Hilton, same damn company. I've got, stuff from all the vendors I deal with, Cynix, Tech Data, saying, hey, thanks for your last order. Everything I order from Amazon, somebody sends me something to, how was your order? I order something and I get a Google review link.
Right.
I get it. I want to be a good partner, especially with the companies I partner with. So I do want to give them feedback. Just keep in mind, your customers are getting the same thing. So don't totally rely on that. I think the best way, and I don't know how you build it totally, it depends. I mean, Curtis brought up a great point. His market might be different than obviously Paco's in Chicago. Things are going to work different and how personal the touch can be. But I call it the cheers principle. Remember when Norm walked into the bar? Norm! And he kept coming back because it was his place. He felt good when he went there. It was a safe place. You know, he would always get what he wanted. He could even pour his own beer, if you remember. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like that. If you can make people feel like that when they walk into your shop or when they call you, I think that's what you don't even have to ask then, because people will want to brag about you and have their computers fixed by you because it makes them feel better. Meet me at Cheers because that's where I like my beer from. So, I don't know what the formula is, but just make sure, you're sending out that 1 month review, that 90 day review, that yearly review. Just make sure people are probably happy to get it, but I bet it gets lost in all the clutter a lot of the time.
Right. One key thing I want to pick on what I just said was I agree with John 100%. It's the ones that take the time to reply back. Those are the ones that you want to go ahead and ask, because exactly like you said, in my follow-ups, I actually just send a survey. And I send a survey as far as how did we do with our service? Because that matters more to me of how we did versus getting a review, because I'd rather know what we do up front before they let everybody else know in the world on whatever experience that they had made, whether it be really bad or semi not okay, that I could have helped them out with. So once they reply back saying they had a great experience, I feel that I'm losing opportunity on replying back because I've already got them to make the call to action while I have them. Hey, do you mind going ahead and just jotting a review for us?
Yeah, I
can't argue with that at all. What I would just make sure of, or maybe the secret sauce, or at least what catches my eyes, are some companies that make sure they have a really good subject line and maybe something special in the subject. Character I don't see often. You know, even a lot of times, if you look in your spam folder, you'll see that the spammers are really good at that versus just, hey, here's a survey, thanks, with some 15-digit order number in the subject line. You know, so
yeah.
Communicate like you'd want to be to communicate. Try to be personal. If you're trying to build the word of mouth, that's what it's a personal relationship. Sorry, go ahead, Jeff. I interrupt.
That's all right. So one of the things that I think about, and one of the things I am horrible at this. I don't ask, and I know I should. And a lot of times I get a computer in, I get it fixed. I get it back to call a customer up. They come back and pick it up. Here you go. They pay me. I'm happy. They're happy. We go about our business. But here's some of the things. If word of mouth marketing for getting more business is not absolutely working for you, or you need to build up your clientele, and during certain phases of your business, you won't always need to build up your clientele. You might get to a point where you go, hey, you know what? This is good enough. But while you're trying to build that up, and because here's a problem. I hear everybody whining and crying about how IT is dead and the business is going away and I got to change how I do things. And yes, you do have to change a little bit. I'm sorry, military background says adapt and overcome. I got to get from point A to point B no matter what. It doesn't matter what obstacles in my way. So my thought process is, how do I outdo that? What do I need to do to help spread that word of mouth? And here's a couple things that I came up with. You can simply do something simple like hand out 3 business cards. Okay. Give your customer those 3 business cards and go, and write on the back, hey, 10% discount. Okay. And say, hey, if you tell 3 of your friends, what I will do is I will add a up to, you know, 10% discount for each customer that comes and uses me. And I will add that to your account the next time you get something serviced. So you're not necessarily giving them something up front. They've got to work for it a little bit. Those are things you can do. And you don't have to get fancy. You don't have to order business cards with, you know, the 10% little check boxes on the back or whatever. Whatever you have right now, just use that. You can use a piece of paper if you want to. It doesn't matter. But get those in your customers' hands and just tell them, hey, if we have done well for you and you liked our service, could you tell 2 or 3 of your friends and let them know when they have computer problems, they can come here and they'll get an initial 10% off on their first fix. That's one way of doing it. There's many different ways of taking care of business like that. So go ahead, Paco.
I agree with you because like you said, you just got to use something, right? And even if you, like, for example, I got about 4,000 postcards still that I have, and they have my other 3 addresses of the other 3 locations that I had when I had them, I had 4 locations open at one point. It doesn't matter. I mean, my one address is still there. Plus, I could just stick a label on there, 10% off, and just hand it out. So when they see it, they'll have something right there. So even if you don't have it printed, I mean, if you have your own standard stock, you can add a label or something like that. Yeah, it's not the prettiest, but it gets the message across.
Yeah. And again, are we trying to build a business or are we trying to look pretty? I mean, look at the guys on this panel. Come on.
I don't know about you. But, I'm told I have cute features, but anyway.
That's perfect examples. And so what are some of the other things that we can do just thinking outside the box of what we normally do? Besides, we need to ask, we need to probably pass something out because you need to be in the forefront of their mind. What are some of the other things that you guys think of that you go, hey, I've used this in my business before, or it's something that I've thought about and it might be a good idea, or maybe even heard it from somebody else?
I know.
Can I share with you what Forbes says?
Oh, Forbes. Okay, go ahead.
So they give the 3 E's for word of mouth marketing. Engage. Give your fans the gift of you. Engage with them. So obviously, I think we talked about that. Equip. Give them reasons to talk. Mm. So maybe that discount, Jeff. And then the last one is empower. Give consumers different ways to talk and share. So I think Paco mentioned that, you know, the review and all that kind of stuff. So that's their big 3. So go ahead, Kurt. I cut you off there, man.
No, that's right. So, like, when you talk about that discount, you know, I tried doing that once before. We actually had cards printed out that we would do like a referral program. And anybody that did that, if they took that card and they gave it to someone else and they brought it back to me, I would have that person's name written down on a list, and I would give them like a 10% discount. If I kept following that kind of chain, those people keep getting the 10% discount. So I tried that for a while. It was okay for a bit, but after a while, it just seemed like it kind of died off. Then we tried doing things in the newspaper where we say, hey, you can get like 10 or 15% off of an optimization or virus removal or whatever it might be. You know, like one per client, you know, one time, and you have these people that'll come in, and they'll come in at like once a week with every computer, and they'll bring that in that they cut out from a newspaper, you know, try to abuse the system basically. But I mean, it works, you know, but it doesn't always work. I was going somewhere with this and I already forgot.
That's one of the things. I mean, when you think about this business, a lot of people, okay, most of the time we can get a virus removal done within an hour, most of the time. Okay, so, but there are times that we spend 8 hours, and obviously we talked about this in the past, we can't charge that customer 8 hours for doing a virus removal. Most of us, if we're doing flat fee pricing, or even you're not going to charge 8 hours for a virus removal, I don't care who you are. So the reality is you're going to eat some of that time. And so, but you've got to look at it. And here's the other thing too. You can kind of, you kind of have to know your customer. Okay, you're working with your customer, you got a good rapport, and you know that they have some of the same like-minded people, like John was talking about, you're going to hand that card out off to them. Maybe there's certain people that come in your shop and you don't give them that referral card. Maybe you don't even give them a business card because you're like, hey, have a great day. And yeah, hope to never see you again. So
yeah, I've had a few of those.
We all have. It's part of the business. It's part of what we do. We can't parse everybody from the phone. We're not going to always get 100% on what type of person that is until they bring their device in and we work on it and they come back and pick it up. And then we know automatically right off the bat whether they're going to be problem children or not. And so that's that's some of the things you got to look at. Not everything's going to be a, you know, what's a batting average? You know, if you look at batters, right, they're not hitting 100%. And right. as a matter of fact, what is it, 30%? You know, if they're batting 300,
it's pretty darn good.
That's pretty. Yeah. It is. Yeah. So you got to look at it from that standpoint. Some are going to be better than others, and just kind of work from it from there.
Right.
Yeah. As far as the other thing too, going back to talking about marketing a little bit, postcards, and I've started that a long time ago, and then I kind of waned off and just wasn't doing it. But one of the things, if you take those postcards, and I've done this, and you just take your customer base, and yes, it costs a little bit of money for stamps. You can get postcard stamps. They're cheaper. I think they're like 18 cents a piece. You can send those postcards out to your client base. And a lot of times that gives them a reminder. Even if you do that a couple times a year, even if they haven't seen you in a while, most of the time what I've heard is, you know what? I couldn't find you online again for whatever reason. I couldn't find your business card. But when you sent that postcard, amazingly, I had a problem at that point that I needed taken care of. So I'm glad you sent this postcard out because I called you and was able to get it taken care of. We don't think about things like that. The other thing too with marketing, we don't understand that a lot of times we will try certain things. And if you have something that's not working for you, that's fine. But marketing takes 6 months. And a lot of times what happens is we stop marketing. And we're going gangbusters and we're like, hey, I'm not going to market anymore right now. And then we get to those lulls and all of a sudden we go, hey, wait a minute. I have no business. What's going on? Well, because you got to keep that, you got to prime the pump, so to speak. And for a lot of people that don't know what that means, look it up on Google.
So Lisa Hendrickson actually said this best, where there's a difference between advertising and marketing. Advertising is basically your ads, your one stops, you're just throwing it out there, like you said, gangbusters, and hopefully something is going to click. Marketing is an ongoing thing that sticks around, and it's consistent, whether it be, you know, blogs, it be, you know, particular posts, things that are going to stay or that are going to be consistent. That's really what you want to focus on. So like you just said, if you're going to make this to be a marketing effort and not an advertising effort, you got to keep going with this because there really is not going to be any detectable ROI until you finish it all through. I mean, if you only do it, let's say 3 or 4 weeks, and you're not shutting your business down in 4 weeks. I mean, this should be a continuous thing. Now, should you dedicate all your time to it? Maybe not if there's other avenues or other things that are working better for you. But it's still, if it's bringing you some type of traction, whether it be leads alone, not even just convertible leads, just people actually just calling you, then it's something that's going to be worth it for you to keep expanding.
Right.
And, you know, that's a good point, you know, for the marketing and advertising. For me, one of the ways that I do it too is that I'll grab like three of my business cards and I'll grab three mouse pads that have my PC doctor information on it. And what I'll do is I'll go out to lunch and I'll stop at three different businesses a couple times a week and just walk in and just hand them a mouse pad, my business card, shake their hand, ask them if there's any kind of needs that they have or if they have any questions, they're more than welcome to call me. So I've been doing that for quite a few months now. And I'll just hand those two things out to each place I go to. I'll find two, three places and I'll try to go somewhere different each time. And go somewhere where I haven't seen that business come to me, you know. So it's a good way for them to see me and then hopefully come down to where I'm at without having to try to use someone else that's like an hour, 2 hours away out of Minneapolis that they're calling. So that's one of my ways of trying to do the whole advertising marketing kind of thing too. So
yeah, that's good. A lot of times we don't
think there's really no excuse anymore. Oh, sorry,
Jeff. No, go ahead, John.
Well, there's really no excuse anymore, too, with postcards and all that, when you can use like postable.com or sendoutcards.com to automate this whole thing and have a, you know, professional looking postcard show up that just says thanks. Right. You know.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be anything profound. It's just, hey, thanks for using us. We appreciate your business. And we do. We appreciate their business.
Now, and you know what's profound about it is nobody else does it.
Right.
Right. Now, one mistake that I did with my holiday cards was I did exactly that. Hey, thank you for using us. Hope you have a happy holidays. What I forgot to do was put our phone number. Whoops. So I appreciated them. But if they ever needed to get a hold of me, because that was a reminder, like you just said, because in my head, I was just, oh, I'm setting an appreciation thing right out. I wasn't thinking, hey, I'm going to try and get them as a lead magnet for these cards.
Right.
So. You know,
and again, so a lot of people, okay, so here comes the dirty, nasty feeling. A lot of people feel bad about, oh, I don't want to push myself on other people. No, no, no. You need to look at yourself and you are providing a service that other people need, whether they know it or not. And here's the thing. You're going to treat them right. You're going to take care of their problems. You're probably going to be their best friend when it comes to computer electronics. And so you need to not feel so dirty about, hey, can you pass this stuff out? Or, you know, can you tell your friends about it? Because it's what we do. And so, yes.
You know, ask yourself the question, would you want to get it?
Yeah.
I mean, would it be helpful to you?
Absolutely.
You mean, anytime you're dealing with, whether it's residential or business, you know, keep in mind maybe with business customers or home customers, you know, they're extremely busy. But if you can give them something that either one saves them money, which everybody seems to love, or if you can give them a huge nugget of information in like 15 seconds, however that is, it's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. If the 1-800 number pops up on your screen, don't call it.
That's right. And if we really go down to brass tacks, right? I mean, if, when it comes down to fundamentally you doing this as a business, I think Gil Cargill said it best when me, you, and John were at Channel Pro. I'd rather be pushy than broke. Mm. So I think that's one where you're in business to make a living, to support your family and stuff. So you got to make sure you understand, like, yeah, there are going to be times where you need to be sensitive of what you do, but other times you can't, there is no half measures. Mm. I mean, either are you going to do it or you're not going to do it because you're in business for a reason.
Absolutely. So don't, and my point is, don't sit back and go, it's not working for me. I don't know what to do. No. Stand up, put your pants on, pull them up and tighten that belt down and get down to business. Do what you got to do. Perfect example. And John says this all the time. If you want it, you got to go out and kill it. Mm-hmm. Bring it home. Cook it.
You got to kill it.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, you have to, right? It's what we, you know, so I just don't want people out there.
Who was that again?
That was Gil Cargill.
Okay.
He runs Cargill Consulting.
Nice. Hmm. That's a great point though. You really got
to
be all
right. I remember that. Put out to me.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to be all in on this thing. You definitely have to make sure that you're doing what you need to do, because if you want to stay in business. Now, if you don't, that's fine too. But just don't complain. If you're going to stay in business, hey, change with the times, adjust. And really, it's not changing with the times. This stuff goes back to the beginning of time. Treating people like they want to be treated, right? Or like you want to be treated. And so if as long as you do that, your business will grow, but you got to keep doing it. So.
Yep. And one of the things I like to do too, that makes it kind of personable, like you were saying, you want to have that kind of like that personal connection with the client, whether it's residential or business. And one of the things I like to do is, you know, on my front counter, on the front here, is when they come in and they go to pay for the service that I had taken care of for them. A lot of times what I do is I say, hey, do you want to take a look and make sure that I got everything that you needed? And I have a monitor with the cables already set up with a keyboard and mouse sitting on a shelf below it. And I'll just fire it up right there. And they can go through it. They can check it, make sure I got everything that they were thinking of. And then they're happy and they go out the door and they just kind of spread that word another way and say, hey, he took the time to show me what he fixed. I'm happy. He did a great job. He asked me questions. He showed me everything.
Right.
Or they go happy. So that was one thing that I really kind of focused on, you know, throughout the years I've been doing this, without just kind of going, yep, here you go. All right, glad to hand them. Thank you very much. You know, on to the next client, you know. So it makes it nice when you do the personal stuff like that, like you were saying. So,
and one of the things I've explained to my kids is they get out into this great big world is that I tell them, I said, here's the reality. You have to be just a little bit better than everybody else. You got to care just a little bit more. You got to put just a little bit more effort in, and you will go very far, because most people don't. Mm-hmm. So stand above the crowd and just, yep, just a little bit more. You don't have to go overboard. You don't have to let people suck the time and life out of you. That's not what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit. All right. Is there anything else that we need to cover on word of mouth marketing? Anything that we haven't covered so far? Are we good on this topic? All right. I'm going to take that as a, we can move on. All right, let's take a quick break and open up those phone lines. The call-in number is 1-888-697-0162. Our friend Lisa Hendrickson from callthatgirl.biz is doing a webinar on how to sell and support prepaid tickets. It is Tuesday, January 17th at 10 a.m. Pacific time. If folks miss it, she will send them a recording of it so they can watch it later. You can check it out at callthatgirl.biz/ How to Sell and Support Prepaid Tickets course. If you check that out over there, you can get signed up for that. And if you can't make it that day, she'll send you a recording of what was talked about. All right, let's go ahead into our emails. All right, this email is from Michael Woodward. It says, hey, Jeff, wanted to follow up on that email I sent about the profile migration wizard. I don't think I explained what I use that tool for. I do usually use roaming profiles on my domain controllers. But what this tool has helped me out with is with when adding a domain controller and attaching computers to the domain controller, as many of you guys know, when you attach the computer to the domain and log into the domain profile, that profile looks like a new profile with all of the user's old data still stored in the local profile. The old way I would move the user's data to the new domain profile would be to use FABS or some other tool to back up the data and restore to the new domain profile. What this tool does is it migrates the local user account and all of the data over to use the newly created domain profile so that when you log into the domain, the user profile and all of the data is still there. Once that is done, then roaming profiles would kick in and start moving all the data over to the server for the roaming profiles to work properly. Michael Woodward from Excel Computer Services. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate that. And that is a good follow-up. And John, unfortunately, you weren't here last week. So when we're talking about this particular email, what do you use when you're using a domain controller? And I know you've got a lot less servers out there nowadays, but what are you using to do this type of migration?
Exactly what he mentioned, either FABS or the migration windows, migration wizard in Windows.
Okay.
I do not do a whole lot with roaming profiles anymore, though. because usually they create me more headaches than benefits.
Okay.
And in most of my setups, I don't have a lot of roaming users. It's a, mostly, I would suggest most of them are one-on-one. So they've got one computer they use primarily all the time. Now, I do use it in some locations where I have several users that move around and they need to have all those, all that profile information that's contained in a profile, you know, there when they move to a different PC, but I'm using that less and less and less and less.
Okay. Because most people probably have their main machine that they're working on, which is either it's going to be a desktop at their desk or a laptop that they use to move around with, right?
Most of the time, that's what we have now.
Okay.
Roaming profiles were a lot more prevalent, I think, when the equipment was a lot more expensive.
Okay. Well, I used them in a church.
Now a lot of everything is web-based as well, too.
Yeah. And I used roaming profiles back in the server 2003 days, basically in a church, because we had different volunteers that would come in, and so they could log into the different computers at different stations.
Exactly.
And use it. And they then when they came back, wherever they went to, they actually had their information that they'd saved from last time, whatever they were working on. So it was kind of nice for that. But yeah, I can see that not going. I mean, we use roaming profiles at obviously Ford Motor Company. We have to, because I log into several different machines and I need to be able to get to my stuff. Now, funny thing is, back not too many years ago, when they would replace the computers every 3 years, anything you had saved on your desktop or whatever would be gone. So it was the cheap version of not backing up those profiles on the server and basically running it from the desktop. Nowadays, when they actually swap the computers out, all that information that you saved, like PDFs and different things you need to do your day-to-day business, is actually on those computers wherever you log in, which makes it really, really nice.
So, not to mention the cost of storage is much cheaper now too. I mean, really roaming profiles back in the day was expensive if there was a lot of data you had to move around.
Right.
With the speed of the network and everything too. So yes.
Exactly. All right. Well, we are out of emails, believe it or not.
What?
We've went through all emails. And so, unless somebody wants to talk about another topic while we're waiting for any phone calls to come in, we can go ahead and do that and spend a few more minutes there. We're actually way ahead of schedule today, which is kind of nice.
First time for everything.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. New year. Everybody's busy. Probably getting ready for, I don't know what. What do people do in the wintertime?
Well, let's talk about this then. What are you guys going to do in 2017 as far as travel? And when I mean travel, as far as can you guys get any conventions you're interested in? I was listening to Podnuts Pro and Matt brought up MSP Con or something like that.
Right.
MSP heard World. Some rumbling. What, MSP World? Is that what it is?
In New Orleans.
Yeah, I just threw up.
Yeah, which I know it's really easy for him. He probably just has to walk out through his backyard to go to that one. But, I've heard some rumblings about the next Dunk convention, maybe, or I might be interested. Jeff, what was the one we did? The Channel Pro?
Channel Pro, yes. Yep, in Chicago.
That's
Chicago.
Coming back to Evanston. So if we do that, Paco, I expect to see you there, brother.
Oh, so. I mean, yeah, I'm going for it. I already registered. It's in Rosemont again. It's at the same place. It's
okay.
May 2nd. It'll be cool to have you guys back on.
That was easy to get to, and that was a good time. Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, I'll probably actually get a room over there too, just so I can hang out with you guys longer versus just driving back down to the city and then coming back up.
Wait. Does that mean we've got a commitment from Mr. Halish?
I didn't say that.
Oh, wait a minute.
Whoa, I didn't say that. We'll see.
Are we live on air?
We're still live on air.
What? We're live.
This is being recorded.
Yes, it is being recorded for posterity's sake. No, I don't know what I don't know what I'm going to personally be doing this year. I've got a lot on my plate and it's keeping me pretty busy. So we'll see what I can work in there. And right now I'm just going to play it by ear. So I'm not making any upfront commitments. We'll go from there.
Yeah, I got.
Well, I'm 80% on that Channel Pro, Paco, so I'll probably see you there.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so that one I'll be there for sure. I'm actually debating on two conferences, either in February or in March. One, it's a good friend of mine. He's a big sales influencer, I guess is the term. He has his own podcast and everything like that. So he's holding an intensive sales mastery course for like 12 hours on a day in February. He's also going to be at another conference in March. So one of those conferences, I'll probably be there. The one is called the Sales Mastery Intensive, which is February 21st. And then it's Victor Antonio is the guy who's running it. And then the other one is, I forgot the name of it, but it's March 17th through the 18th in Miami. So it'll be one of those I'll probably go to. I'll definitely be at Channel Pro. I may book a vacation, actually an actual vacation, in probably around July or August time at the Diplomat that we were at last year.
Nice.
Because it was such a great venue. But
what is the one in Miami, Paco? What's that? It's another sales one?
It's a sales slash like growth, like marketing slash... I think it's called.
So not tech focus, more sales focus.
Yeah, exactly. Because I'm trying to get out on more on how to handle leads and how to handle more inbound stuff, that sort of thing. Kind of thinking outside of the box, at least for those core components. And then I'll more than likely be at the CompTIA in Houston that year as well. So
now, Paco, let me ask you a question. When you go on vacation, are you going to actually leave your laptop and your phone at home?
Yes.
Okay. Let me just be honest with everybody that's listening right now. If you're going on vacation and you're taking your phone and your laptop, you can take your phone. Okay. But if you're taking your laptop because some customer might call, that's not a vacation. Just call it what it is. It's a workcation, whatever, but it's not a vacation. A vacation is actually unplugging, getting away, getting that time to rejuvenate your mind and sometimes your body to get you back in. When you come back, you get back into that workflow again. Because if you're on vacation and you're sitting there on the phone talking to the customer and you're typing on the computer and your family's over here playing in the pool, or you're just, that's not. Yeah,
I'm sure that if I were to bring anything of work, I will be killed when I head over there. So no,
good.
I will make sure to schedule and coordinate everything
good
to get that.
Awesome.
Yeah, the Diplomat was nice too. That's a good place to go chill out.
Yeah, that sounded really nice. Too bad I missed that one. You know what? Let's talk about real quick. Actually, Kurt, let's let Kurt. Kurt, are you going anywhere this year? You got any plans?
Not that I can think of. I haven't been to many of those kind of conventions or anything like that. I never really thought about it. But now that I'm drawn into my last year here before I buy the business, I'm looking at trying to do things like that.
Okay.
And here's where I'll tell you why that's beneficial. And it's not even because, and John will attest to this and Jeff as well. It's not about the content and the actual convention themselves, because that's great information. Mm-hmm. I feel that stuff is icing. Where the real benefit is actually meeting your peers and actually having those roundtable discussions, talking about how they do business and things like that. Because I first got exposed to it when CompTIA was here in Chicago 2 years ago. And just being able to talk to all the Podnuts crew that was there, other members of the community, other technicians that were there for CompTIA, hearing their perspectives and their processes and things I didn't even think about, I found more value in that than a lot of the information that I got from the workshops, which were great information. But this was really the big potential and the real meat and potatoes to me and those type of events. So, yeah, I would really encourage you if you can start off local or if you can make it out to some of these, it's definitely worth the travel.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah, like I said, it's something that's sitting in my mind, you know, now that I know I'm going through this last part of the year and things are starting to slowly transition now where I take more control. So, you know, I got to do what I need to do in order to take control of the business and get ready to buy it. And then that's when I really want to focus on that kind of stuff. You know, just being able to go out there and maybe even get to meet you guys in person and just kind of BS with you, you know, this is good. I like this. I enjoy it. But just to meet you guys in person and find out how you talk with other folks and things you discuss would be really interesting to me. It'd be fun.
Yeah. So it is different. And I will tell you that, you know, who you see on screen, as far as I'm concerned, is basically the same person you'll meet. I'm very narcissistic and I admit it, so it's okay. But no, I mean, it's nice to be able to actually grab somebody's hand and go, hey, great to meet you. And you kind of have those sessions where we don't have this short period of time where all of a sudden we got to scatter and kind of go back into our own little world. So it makes it nice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So let's talk about, since John brought up 2017, let's talk about some predictions for 2017. And let me start off. First prediction, IT is not dead. If you're promoting that IT is dead, you're an idiot. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? Yes, I did. IT is not dead. Okay. That's my first prediction. Number two, the industry will still come up with some of the dumbest terms to sound like some of the smartest people in the world because they think it's cool. Okay, let me tell you, it's not cool. Stop doing it. We got more three-name acronyms or three-letter words to or three-letter things to, you know, describe who or what we are. Stop it. It sounds so stupid. You know, when people are saying this stuff all the time, I'm like going, idiot, idiot, idiot. But that's just my predictions for 2017. The words will just get dumber and make us sound all that much more dumber. Okay. Anyways, what other predictions do we have for 2017? Oh, anything else?
All right, still appalled by these acronyms.
All right, we got a phone call coming in. Hold on one sec. Hey, Bob, you're on the air. How you doing?
Yeah, Jeff, thank you. Hey, I'm Bob. My business is PC SAR Search and Rescue. And rescue from your PC is what we do. Love the show.
Cool.
I went to email you this week, and I never got a chance, so I thought I'd just give you a call.
Awesome.
About a couple things. Hey, the one thing... I don't use Dropbox anymore, and I know we talked about it a lot. And ever since I found that Condoleezza Rice was on the board of directors, now this isn't a political call or nothing, but I just didn't like what she wrote into the 9/11 Patriot Act about, giving government so much access to people's private information. I just think it's a conflict of interest to have her on their board of directors. So I kind of stay away from it.
Okay. So you're not using Dropbox
at
all?
But even though I do believe it was a great little program, there's no doubt about that.
Right.
Yeah. And, we talked a little bit last week about UVK. I used UVK. That's a good go-to tool for me, along with his tech toolkit. It's a pretty nice little tool. I mean, I'm not, an expert at it in no means, or I'd offer to help show people, how to use it more, but I do use it.
Yeah, John is the resident expert on this panel as far as using UVK. That's one of his go-to tools for doing a virus remediation, right, John?
You bet. Yes. Well, not even the virus remediation. I use a lot of the other things, the repair tools in it, more mm-hmm. than... I don't use it as an ultimate virus killer. I use it more of as a repair tool for other things.
Okay.
Than I do for virus remediation. I use even more. I use the tech toolkit even more. Which is like the GE toolkit.
There's a lot of nice things you can do with that too. You can customize or brand it, which is really nice with that tech tool store. So when a customer sees that you're in there working with them, it's got your logo, your name, what you want to say about
that. Yeah, very nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've been doing the business now since about 2013. I also worked as a volunteer over at our local school in the tech department. So that's just a wealth of knowledge. Those guys just run circles around me, but they're great. I haven't said anything again to Podnuts as far as a donation. And as we get more off the ground, I will, but I'm a strong supporter of you with Amazon. Certainly, if I go to Amazon, I do that. I think that's at least something that everybody could do, is just if they're purchasing from Amazon, like I think we all do, why not? I purchased a Podnuts. I think, is it your laptop trading? Did you put the laptop trading together, Jeff?
No, I didn't. That was actually Steve Cherubino back in the day. He put that together. And what is still a great course to definitely check out.
Yes, it is.
So, yeah, very, I still, there are times where I've gone back and watched some of those videos, and that I bought that back in 2010, probably, so.
Yeah, it was probably 12 or so I bought it myself, so yeah, I've had it a while. It is still a good good piece of information.
Yep, absolutely. Well, I appreciate that. Appreciate that, Bob. And
I've also used a lot of the resources. A lot of the sources that I've used have come from your podcast and what Podnuts does. All the shows are great. I use Lisa on some 365 stuff, and I use Chris on some QuickBooks stuff. And
awesome.
Yeah, so it's great.
That's very awesome. Hey, appreciate you calling in and letting us know, you know, about your business and what you're doing. So that's awesome. And appreciate the support. And really do.
Thing too, I just wanted to mention real quick. I've also been in the print and mailing business for years, and postcards are great. 5.5, 8.5 postcards are good because they're affordable to print and they're in the people's face. I mean, they can see them. It's not like a business card that gets lost in the stack. It's a little bigger. Some people even put them on the refrigerator. They're large enough.
That's a good point. Very good point. All right, cool. Well, thank you again, Bob. Appreciate the phone call.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right. Have a good one. Bye-bye. Oh, awesome. Great phone call.
Awesome call.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
We need more of those.
Absolutely. Yeah, those are great calls because I'd love to know what people are doing out in the industry. Or okay, stop. I love to know what people are doing in their business. we all get caught up in these terms. Anyways, so, no, that's awesome. I love to hear what people are doing. So definitely if you want to call in and talk about your business and kind of what you're doing and maybe something that we're talking about that day, definitely go ahead and do that. So that's what we're here for. And if you have any questions and maybe we can help point you in the right direction, I will tell you this though, that a lot of people look at themselves as not experts in when it comes to this business. And I find that kind of disheartening myself because the reality is we are all a lot smarter than we give ourselves credit for. We figure out some things that people are like, they just can't figure it out. And so I look at it, as long as you're learning and as long as you're moving forward, and as long, guess what makes an expert? An expert is made by just knowing a little bit more than somebody else. So when it comes to a customer that has absolutely no idea how to fix their own computer, and you're going in and you're fixing that computer, you are an expert in fixing whatever problem they had. You fix it, you get it back to them, you get paid. That is actually an expert. So definitely don't look at yourself as lesser knowledge than everybody else. John, what's your famous saying? The one thing you know for sure?
Is that I don't know everything.
Exactly. None of us do, even though I act like it. But I really don't know everything. You can ask my wife. She'll tell you. I don't know everything. Anyways, you guys haven't, while we're waiting for any more phone calls here, we are any other predictions for 2017? How the industry is moving, what we're doing, how people are going to have to change a little bit, or maybe not change at all, maybe just do more of the same. You guys see anything? Anything big coming up? I know everybody talks about Internet of Things. I kind of look like I look at Internet of Things kind of like 3D TVs. Yeah, it's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Don't really care. I don't know that it'll be around. I love my doorbell. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, you talk about the Internet Things more than we do with your doorbell.
I know.
Did you ever get that working?
Yes, it does work. Okay. And it works on my phone. It works on my computer. What are you going to get?
I'm going to go with the August.
Well, definitely tell me how that works.
Unlock.
Okay. I want to hear that. I
like
it because
it's got the lock on it, too.
Oh, you're going for the whole like digital lock on the door.
It's got a lock and a camera on it. So like you can remotely unlock the door if you want. So we'll see.
Okay.
Either it'll be great or I'll have people from all over walking into my house. Who knows?
Well, there you go.
Who knows?
Come on in.
I love the camera portion of it because when you're coming up to my porch, I can at least see who's coming up there. Now, I will tell you that I use Ring Doorbell. Ring Doorbell, their doorbell actually, their software was just upgraded a little bit and they made it really nice. So when I first got the Ring Doorbell, what was happening is if I had, and I've got bushes and stuff in front of my doorway, if something would move, my pine tree or whatever, or leaves would blow across, or a bird would fly in front of the camera, my camera would turn on and record that. Now, I pay for the recordings. It keeps all recordings for a year. It's like $30 a year. It's not a big deal. But I don't really need it running all the time. So now they've got a thing in there where you've got a slide adjuster that you can adjust the sensitivity of what sets the camera off. And I've got it set for people. So basically you have to be a person-sized people coming up to my door so that it right it goes, hey, no, there's actually a person walking up here. Let's turn it on, versus just a bird flying in front and recording the bird. Even though that might be nice to watch, no, it's a waste of my time. Then I'd have my Ring going off all the time. So now I'm able to, if somebody comes up to the door, whether they ring the doorbell or not, I'm getting a notification of there's a person at my front door. The only other thing I want to do is I want to get something for the back door. And maybe even over the garage. And maybe even the other side. The other side of the house. I don't know.
Just some cameras, per se?
Yeah, probably more of the same thing. More of the IoT devices. I'm sorry. God. Okay. Internet of things. See, we all get caught in this stupidity. Okay. Anyways. And I love the people out there that go, well, if we had to say everything out the whole way, then, you know, our conversations would take so much longer. Listen, I read a lot of your guys' emails. Believe me, the conversations wouldn't take that much longer. I'm just kidding.
Wow, you're not very nice.
You can have a conversation and say the full sentence. You know, we've gotten into this thing where we have, especially with things like Twitter, right? You've got Twitter that's 140 characters. You've got text messages, which everybody, I just had somebody yell at me the other day because I sent a very long detailed text message because it was covering a situation I needed to tell several people about. And I asked the person, had they read it? And they said, no, they said it was so long after the first sentence. I was like, yeah, I just saw how long it was. I'm like, I'm not reading this. So I guess if you put a bunch of, what are three letter words called? They're not acronyms. What do they call those?
Three-letter words.
Abbreviations. Oh, anyways, let's come up with a cool term for that. No. Oh, anyways. All right. So I'm looking. Well, I think we're at 5:12. So I think what we'll go ahead.
Leave it to Taz. They're anagrams.
Yep.
Anagrams. Okay. Anagrams. Very good. Thank you. Appreciate that. All right. I think we're going to go ahead and end the show off again. Great having everyone here on the panel and sharing. And I think we had a great session about word of marketing or word of mouth marketing, or should I call it WOM?
WOM. That's funny. Yes.
We just talked about WOM. Oh my gosh. Anyways. All right. Kurt, if people want to find out more about you, where could they do that?
They can find me at Kurt at mnpcdoctor.com and on Facebook, mnpcdoctor.com.
Awesome. All right. And Paco, where can people find you at?
They can find me here at 3 p.m. Central Time and the Computer Repair Live Show for Podnuts Network. Or they can find me biweekly every other Tuesday over at the Your Friendly Neighborhood Computer Guy Network for the Computer Business Podcast, over with my good friend Matthew Rodella.
Good thing it was only a brain fart. John, where can people find you at?
Mavengroup.net.
Mavengroup.net. To the website that he doesn't really need for his business because word of mouth marketing still works. All right. Appreciate you guys coming out. If you want to come join us live for the Computer Repair Podcast every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern over at podnets.com/Computer Repair Podcast Live. Join in on the conversation by calling in live and hanging out in the chat room. We have audio available over at podnets.com or subscribe using your favorite podcatcher. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel, Computer Repair Podcast. Send your questions and feedback to podnets@podnets.com. And if you want to leave a voicemail, you can do that at 1-888-697-0162, the same number that we use for calling. All right, to support this show, if you want to, you can go to patreon.com/computer repair podcast. We appreciate everything that everybody does through Amazon and other things. So, and definitely people that are helping out the network. We appreciate your support. And even when you send in an email or make a phone call, that is supporting the network, and we appreciate it. And I want to thank everyone for listening and subscribing to the show. We'll see you next time on Podnuts, the Computer Repair Podcast.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.